Australia's native food plants have been adapting to our country's harsh climate for thousands of years. But beyond their climate resilience, they're important to Australia's ecosystem and have remained essential to life, known for traditional and culinary uses, health and well-being benefits. Growing Bush Foods in Your Garden is the title of a book co-authored by ecologist Kate and First Nations Awabakal man Pete Cahill. The book combines both First Nations ecological knowledge and scientifically researched health benefits to explore 90 bush foods. I spoke with Mrs. Cahill at Burnside City Council's recent Enviro Expo to hear more on the many ways bush foods can be vital for sustainability.
So that's a little marsh saltbush. A lot of people will know the old man saltbush. It grows big and you can use it for hedges and stuff, but this is a little bit smaller, has a smaller leaf, does make a nice compact hedge. Unlike the old man saltbush, you can eat the fruit off that one.
And what about Marnong? Have I said that correctly?
Marnong yam daisy. So that one has a yam that is almost carrot-like, but it's white. It kind of looks like a carrot. It's different to potatoes. It has a really good starch that's known as inulin. You don't get the high sugar spike that you would eating a potato, so it's much better for you. So we should be eating more of these and less of potatoes. I do love my potatoes, but we still should be eating more of these.
These are just some of the native bush foods that can be grown in your garden.
So that one is Simbapogan ambiguus, and it is a native lemongrass. Some people up in the north might know Simbapogan bombycinus, which is like a cousin, but both of these you can use in a tea to relieve headaches. That's traditional knowledge, but it's also been backed up by scientific knowledge as well.
Mrs. Cahill says they grow bush food privately in their garden and commercially at their block in Wakery in South Australia's Riverland.
The reason we grow bush foods is to basically attract more wildlife to our garden, but also the amazing health benefits that they can bring you as well.
And why do you think it's important to have that perspective regarding, I guess, symbiosis between bush foods and the attraction of different animal species?
It's really important because there has been a lot of habitat destruction, habitat shrinking in all across Australia, really, not just South Australia. And we live in quite a rural area where there's a lot of farmland. So the wildlife, the ones that are remaining, are constantly searching for new sources of food as their own habitat is shrinking. So it's important to have those local endemic species if you can to plant in your garden. Some of the others that aren't endemic, they'll also provide food for things like honey eaters and habitat for insects, which of course bring in birds and other animals.
And why do you think this thinking is important for sustainability and I guess the future of our climate as well?
I guess if everyone can do a tiny bit in their own backyard, or if they're on acreage, they can do a bit there, then even if you know you've got like a little courtyard garden, if everyone can do a little bit, it kind of all adds up to try and negate some of the bad things that are happening, the habitat destruction, the clearing of forests and that sort of thing. So,
and what sort of response have you had regarding Australian bush foods?
So we've had a really good response, but most people, you ask them, do they have any bush foods in their garden? And they kind of say no, but then when they start looking at the bush foods that we've got here, or the book that we've got, they start saying, oh yeah, we've got that one. And, you know, sometimes you don't realise you do have a few bush foods already if you're planting native foods. Some of those will be bush foods. But yeah, a lot of people are interested.
And in what ways can they make our like pantry or kitchen more, I guess, sustainable and affordable at the end of the day?
If you're growing your own, of course that's very affordable because you just go into your backyard and get it. But we suggest that if you're buying online, then try and buy from a First Nations owned business, because that is where the knowledge came from in the first place. And we are, Pete's Aboriginal, but we are all using that knowledge that was passed down for generations, the health benefits and all of that.
Just to clarify, Pete co-wrote?
Yeah.
How did that process take place?
We actually started researching all the native plants and bush foods, and Pete and I have been growing bush foods both together and separately before we got together. And Pete's grown up around the bush as well, so we had a bit of knowledge there, but we had to research a lot of it as well, especially the health benefits, the traditional knowledge. We've known people over the years who've generously shared knowledge with us, We also have some First Nations stories of people in front of the book as well. But it was a big process. A lot of research went into it.
And I guess in terms of some of the health and therapeutic and also cooking benefits, can you offer any insight into that as well as ensuring people are safely acquiring and eating what are actual bush foods and not something that they maybe mistake for something else?
Definitely. If you're going to buy bush foods, buy from a reputable First Nations business or a community nursery. They, you know it's going to be labelled properly if you go to your community nursery as well. Your native nurseries, I'm guessing they will label everything properly. It's probably only when you start going to your backyard growers that you might run into some trouble, because a lot of the plants, not a lot, but some of the plants are very similar looking, but one can have an edible berry and the other one can have a poisonous berry, so you do need to be careful. We kind of discourage foraging because that food out there is for the wildlife. So yeah, we'd rather be better if people grew their own, and then you can forage in your own backyard and provide a bit of food for the wildlife as well.
If you can offer any insight, I guess, into how we need to reconsider, like humans need to reconsider our relationship with the natural world.
I think we need to, if you haven't already thought about it, think of yourself as part of an interconnected being, I guess. We are part of this world, Mother Nature. We are part of her, and every little thing we do has an effect. You might think pulling out this and pulling out that won't hurt much, but you know, something relies on that. We've just bought a place 3 years ago and it was full of exotics, and we wanted to just rip the whole lot out, but we thought, no, we can't do that because there's birds and there's insects and there's bees and everything, that spiders that rely on that sort of stuff. So you have to do things gradually, because obviously we want to put the natives in and the endemics in, but you can't just do it all at once. So you have to think about how your actions will affect nature and the world around you.
Co-author and ecologist Kate Cahill speaking with me.